The time is 10 o'clock. Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. A show that has interesting guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a fun show. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in, whoever's tuning us in, and wherever you are, whatever boat you're on. If you're on the banana boat, especially hello to you. Mm-hmm. Got a 1-2-1-2, just had a little mic fade there. Got a really special, very sexy guest in the studio today, Peggy Taphorn, creative director, artistic director of Temple Theatre in Sanford. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Claudio.
And I'm going to get into a little interview to catch up with her, not only about Temple Theatre, but also about her life and background a little bit, because it's time to revamp that since it was 2 years ago when I had you under.
Oh, I can make all kinds of stuff up.
Good. Me too. So we're going to go there. I want to give a quick shout out to the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, my underwriter, our sponsor here at Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. They've got all kinds of stuff coming up, and all I'm allowed to tell you is go to the website.
That's right.
So check it out. See what's coming up. Peggy asked me this morning what's coming up, and I work there, and I blanked.
You just have to show up.
Is it one of those
It'll
senior
moments?
That's
interesting
it. Yes.
And lively.
Right, that's it.
Just
and
like
I've sort
the
of taken
show.
It for granted, exactly.
That's
just
right.
Sort of, oh, what are we working today? Oh, great. Maynard or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's the scoop, and I'm going to let Rocco here, my new co-host. Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Claudio. Good morning, Peggy.
Good
nice
morning.
To have you on board.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to let Rocco spin us a tune just to get us into the morning, settle things down, and then Peggy and I'll have a chat.
Excellent.
You're listening to the radio station that serves the area like no other, WCOM Community Radio. Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. You can also hear us online at WCOMFM.org. In the background is the music of Arturo Sandoval on the trumpet.
Cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much.
Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And that was the new drink and drive commercial, in case you were wondering.
Claudio, how do you like the Arturo Sandoval
sound? I keep thinking, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, didn't Andy Garcia play him in a movie?
I believe he
did. I'm pretty certain. If not, I apologize to Hollywood or whoever.
And Peggy has a connection, I believe, to
Yes, I think Peggy's former marriage. So we're going to slip over to the...
Well, I wasn't married to Arturo Sandoval.
No, I know that. I was going to let you explain that. I just figured I'd hold them on edge. So this is my way of sliding over to Peggy here, is in the hot seat next to me. Yes. And I'm going to take a little bias today, since you're also my friend. And I want to dig into your life before we go to Temple Theater.
Sure.
So might as well start with a guy that sounds a little bit like Sandoval.
Well, I was married to a Latin guitar player.
Right.
He was Brazilian, who played a lot of classical Brazilian samba, and excellent guitar player, and a lot of those bands. But I've always been drawn to the Latin music, especially the music of Cuba and Brazil.
Yeah, how could you not?
Just the history there, and you know what we were just listening to. You can't. How can you not love something whose bass line is played by a tuba?
You got to be deaf. Yep.
I was recently in New Orleans, and one of my main reasons for going is you can always find, you know, the bands that are just all horns.
Yeah.
And they play very similar music to what we were just listening to. And, you know, you'll have multi-generational, you know, ethnic mix.
Yes,
like
which
we
is
all
what I love about
strive
it.
For. Yeah. You know, you'll have an 80-year-old guy and a 16-year-old kid all playing, you know, every shade in
and
between.
Loving it.
And just jamming.
I know during the carnival in the Virgin Islands when I lived in the Caribbean, the trumpeters would walk down the street by themselves and crank out a sound. And
right.
Then you'd hear the steel drum band coming from way behind on a truck.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just love that kind of... And it really is, it's community music.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's something that's for every generation, every race, and you can't help but listen to it and move.
And some of them create some pretty original fusions of cultures.
Right.
Which sort of bounces from one to the other and blends them all together, and you can see how the dynamic really fits and how we as a people might want to take that a little more to heart.
Exactly. And that's why I love that kind of music. It really is for everybody. And you know you can play it with spoons on an oatmeal box.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
You know it's like soccer. It really is for every man. And,
I agree.
And that's one of the cool things about Cuba. We were talking before coming on the air that I just recently found out that we as Americans can now visit Cuba.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that. So
right, and I didn't either. But there are
tell me
certain,
something new.
There are certain tour groups that are now allowed visas. And it's very strict with what you can take into the country and what you can take out.
You can't leave with a Cuban cigar.
You cannot leave with a Cuban cigar.
That just cuts it.
But that's certainly on my bucket list because I want to see it before it's another tourist destination.
I think you're a long way from kicking it, honey.
Well, you never know. If the Mayans are right, we better on it.
Yeah. I hope it's not just that the Mayans ran out of space.
Exactly.
You know, this is as far as we could go. We can't. The stone
ends.
Won't hold anything else.
Well, one way or another, I really do hope that we're headed in the right direction. And if the Mayans are right, I hope the apocalypse just means what it really means, which is change.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it'll be a change for the better.
Let's go back to the jungle. That's my goal.
Well, let's go back to that kind of music.
Exactly. That's where it came from. Come on now.
Exactly.
The deep. So give us a little, tune us in on you know, what brought you to North Carolina, for one thing. I know to run the Temple Theater in Sanford, but your own Broadway background is pretty fascinating. And I've got to say, I recently went to see The Odd Couple that was played at Peggy's Theater, Temple Theater, and Peggy definitely came in and stole the show as one of the sexy twin sisters.
Well, thank you. I loved working on The Odd Couple. It's rare that I actually get to do a play.
Mm-hmm.
But just briefly, my background. I grew up in Illinois, near St. Louis, and this summer I'm actually going back to my roots and my people. I'm going to be choreographing a production of Ain't Misbehavin' there.
Didn't you do something a couple of years ago?
I did. I went back to the Muni and did Showboat.
Right.
This summer I'm doing Ain't Misbehavin' and Urinetown.
Ooh.
So two very
Urinetown?
Different.
Urinetown? Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm, which is one of the Broadway shows I've done.
Hmm.
It's an interesting title. It's a satire about what would happen, what does happen when the planet runs out of water. And so water is now governed by a political conglomerate, basically. And it's a privilege to be able to use the restroom and take a shower and take a bath. And you have to pay. So, of course, we know what happens. The rich get all the water and the poor don't have any.
It's a rather septic ensemble, I would assume.
Exactly, but it's satirical because what happens is there's a revolution and the poor people win and they take over the company.
Oh, right.
And the poor young man is in love with the rich person, you know, the rich conglomerate's daughter, and they join mm-hmm. forces and they take over and they kill the dad and then they, you know, use up all the water reserves and then where are we?
Then where are we?
Exactly.
In Vegas?
Yeah. So they all end up heading to the Amazon, actually, in Brazil.
Oh, perfect.
So now we're back to Brazil.
Back to the jungle.
But it's
going to be my
it's
theme.
It's a very interesting political satire musical.
Sounds
that,
like
you
it.
Know, could possibly happen.
You certainly managed to get a hold of the catchy ones. Ain't Misbehaving. That's
Ain't
probably
misbehaving.
Your biography.
That's exactly. Not these days, anyway.
So give us a little background on your Broadway career before you came here. I know you had a place in New York City.
I did. I actually lived in New York longer than Illinois. I lived in New York for 22 years.
Goodness.
I was one of the very, very fortunate ones, which, as I tell the teenagers that I'm trying to inspire here, you become fortunate by a lot of hard work.
No doubt,
you
yes.
know, it's a lot of it is being in the right place at the right time, but you have to have the goods once they ask you.
All
you know?
The effort to be effortless.
That's right. So I trained very hard. I started dancing when I was 3.
Wow.
And then I got a degree in musical theater and moved to New York right after I got my degree. I'm very proud to say I've never had a day job. I was never a waitress. I was never a
Good
secretary.
For you. I can't
I was never
say the
a
same.
Temp. And did some great shows. I worked with all the greats. My first show was a play, which was directed by George Abbott, who's one of the fathers
Fantastic.
Of yeah. American theater.
Yeah.
If you don't know that name, you should Google
Tell
him.
That experience. I remember you telling the experience about meeting him.
Well, this was on the occasion of his centennial. He turned 100 years old.
My goodness.
The year that I worked with him. And the man was still, you know, absolutely brilliant and sharp as a tack. And physically, he was a very tall man. He was over 6 feet tall and still that tall at 100 years old.
And that's unusual because
And that's unusual because yeah. you shrink.
That and also they say that people that are unusually tall don't necessarily live long lives.
That's right. Well, I think his was just by sheer will and the force of his nature.
Kept himself inspired.
He still had stuff to do.
Which right.
is what he would tell
Can't
people.
Can't leave.
Exactly. I believe at that time he was on maybe his 6th wife, but you
wow.
know. You know.
He, Welcome to the harem.
That's right. But he was a brilliant, brilliant man, a writer, director, producer, and I learned much more just by working with him in those 6 weeks than I learned in 4 years of college.
I can well imagine.
And it was one of those experiences where I was young enough to still listen, you know, and there were older actors in the company that thought they knew everything, and,
well, you
and
actually
this man's 100 years old, what does he know?
Yeah,
and,
right.
and literally he would push himself out of his chair to his full height and point his long bony finger at this particular actress and say, if you would just do it the way I say to do it, you would get the laugh. And she wouldn't listen. And we got to opening night and she was doing it her way. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
the next matinee, he had a little come to Jesus meeting with her and she did it exactly as he said it and stole the show.
I'll be done.
So, you know, he was a brilliant man.
And what was the way that you actually bumped into him and got
well, I
your
was,
place among
I
the stars?
I was hired
there?
To do 2 shows in the ensemble at the Cleveland Shakespeare Company.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Abbott was directing his play, George Abbott's Broadway, which is the one that ended up going to Broadway. The first day of rehearsal, we were already doing The Boys from Syracuse. We were doing 2 shows in rep there. And I was in the chorus of that, and the girl that was the lead in that was also supposed to be the lead in Mr. Abbott's play.
So this was already past the audition phase?
Oh, yes. Okay. We were in Cleveland already.
Gotcha.
And so we'd already opened Boys from Syracuse. We started rehearsals for Mr. Abbott's play called Broadway. And the first read-through, we read through the script in the morning, and then we were supposed to take a lunch break and then rehearse mm-hmm. and then do, you know, the Boys from Syracuse at night. So we get to the lunch break, and the stage manager says, okay, everybody can go home. And we all kind of looked at each other like, yippee, we have an afternoon off. But that was very odd
because
we had so much work to do. And the stage manager then asked myself and another young man who was one of the understudies to stay.
Okay.
And so we stayed and he said, I need you to go take a half hour for lunch, look over these scenes and come back and read them. It was for the lead. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to get to understudy.
Yeah.
You know, I literally had just graduated from college. I had been in New York maybe 4 months. So
Amazing.
I was just happy to be... have a job.
Exactly, I
in
know.
In the chorus,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
more than happy to be working with Mr. Abbott in the chorus, in the ensemble of this play. And so we went to lunch, and his name was Skip. Skip and I went over the scenes and, you know, rushed back to the rehearsal hall and read the scenes, and Mr. Abbott stood up and said, so, do you think you can handle this part? I said, yes, sir, I can handle this part. He's like, all right, it's yours. take the script home and know it by tomorrow.
Wow.
And he fired the girl and put me in the lead, and that show ended up going to Broadway.
So he had, at this point, he had seen you.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that morning.
Yeah. Wow.
And we read those scenes, and yeah, that girl and I are no longer friends, but that's okay.
C'est la vie.
Actually, now we are friends because this was, you know, 20 years ago. But that was my first foray into the Broadway world.
Pretty amazing. On that note, let's get a little musical fusion going here, and we'll come right back with Peggy Taporn, Artistic Director of Temple Theatre.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. We hope you're having a good morning. Stay tuned to 103.5 WCOM. We're with you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're community radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here at 103.5 FM WCOM. We just heard Arturo Sandoval, vocal and on the trumpet, with the music of Bunny Berrigan from the 1930s and early 40s. Now back to Claudio.
I was just thinking he would have made a great accompanist for Nat King Cole. The two of them doing harmony, that would have really put something on the plate.
And that's my kind of music. I don't know if you've had the chance to see. I do a Betty Hutton show.
Yes. I have not yet seen it, but I will next time you do it.
Pretty amazing. And one of my dreams is to be able to do that show with a full orchestra, like the Heart of Carolina Jazz Orchestra, which performs at the Temple quite frequently. They are just amazing.
You had to memorize, 27 songs or more?
27
was more.
Songs or more, yes. Yeah. You try to lose track.
Yeah.
But it's all great music like that. So
no doubt,
seems to, it comes easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the
for a Broadway star, thank you.
Well, Peggy and Claudio, Bunny Berrigan was a tragic figure. And he played with all of the great bands in the 30s and 40s, but probably never lived to see 40
years old. What was it, alcohol?
I believe he was alcoholic, and he was playing with Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw and Tommy Dorsey, and he had his own band, and he just was considered one of the premier trumpet players of his era.
Well, thankfully, we still have his music.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow.
And his tradition. I think a lot of today's even players listen to those recordings and try to mimic that and try to somehow aspire to be that good.
And even if they have their own original sound, you're still going to notice these influences here and there.
Absolutely.
Like Arturo Sandoval. And this CD is called Arturo Sandoval Trumpet Evolution. And he tries to bring back the sounds of the great trumpet players in the past 80 years.
I got to get myself a copy of this CD or go buy it, wherever it is. I like this. Or is this just a collection you put together, isn't it?
No,
this is an album.
I bought this CD.
Gotcha.
So everybody go out and get that.
That's right. There
That's
we go. We just did a plug for him.
Even
though he's long gone, that music's going to be forever.
Absolutely.
So let's jump back into your life. So we're in Broadway.
The soundtrack of my life sounds a little different, although I got to that part of it.
Oh, there's a part for it where you play
exactly.
That music. Yeah, no doubt.
So after George Abbott's Broadway, I, like I said, was very fortunate. I did other Broadway shows followed. With I think, the greatest list of directors and choreographers of the time that I was in New York. I worked with Hal Prince and Susan Stroman on Showboat. I worked with Mike Ockrent, who unfortunately has passed away, on Me and My Girl, which is the show that I met Tim Curry in, played opposite Tim Curry.
I met him in a bar, Tim Curry.
I met him in quite a few bars on that tour. and then ended up doing Anything Goes and You're in Town, which we've spoken of a little briefly. And I'm forgetting one.
Sort of a play. Hmm. When you first said You're in Town, I thought it's got to be You're in Town, not
yes,
You're
no,
in Town. Hey.
No. But it really is. That's a great musical. And the title is supposed to be off-putting. You know?
No doubt.
It's
supposed
to challenge you to what we think. And
I believe
and what
in
we
the
believe.
Shock effect.
Exactly. But it's not shocking. It's one of those where you get the message through the humor.
Right.
And through the satire. It's obviously a dark comedy, but it's very funny.
And it's a word you can say on radio, so hey.
That's right.
Not mine, urine.
Exactly. And sort of throughout my development, I always had two sides to my personality, which a lot of freelance performers don't have, and that is that I grew up, my sisters ran a dance studio, and so I started teaching for them when I was in the fifth grade.
Had the benefits from all sides.
Well, and I appreciated what I learned from that experience, you know, running a small business in a small town. I grew up in a small town in Illinois, Belleville, Illinois. Our dance studio actually was in Redbud, Illinois, which is quite beautiful.
No doubt.
So I also knew that performing, while I loved it, and it was a great way to sort of free my soul and express myself, I also needed the mental challenge of other things.
Sure.
I wasn't one to readily leave my destiny in the hands of someone else.
Good
Some people
you.
Call that a control freak. I call it just knowing.
I call it preservation.
Right, and kind of making your own way, which is how we developed the Betty Hutton show. And how I started becoming interested in directing and choreographing, which has become one of my great passions. And I've always had the passion for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a small town, like I said, that didn't have the arts. And so one of the things that drew me to the Temple was that it's the only game in town. You know, we're surrounded by Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. Carrboro, Greensboro, Fayetteville, but actually in little old Sanford, the Temple Theater is it.
And you've got to break a lot of ground in people's minds as far as really sort of bringing them into the cultural aspect. I know the older generation tends to frequent the theater, but
it's
really the younger generation that needs to step up to the plate and come and support the performances.
Right, and part of that is tradition and history and the importance of bringing a community together, which I think we've sort of lost in this age of texting and computers,
God, yeah.
and where you don't actually communicate and look someone in the eye.
Funny you should say that, because my friend and boss at the Carolina Theater,
mm-hmm.
him, another assistant, and myself decided to go out for lunch one day, and I don't have a cell phone, haven't had a taste for one yet. I'm sure eventually I'll get one, but if you want to get a hold of me, you got to call my home number. And we were having lunch together, and I figured a conversation would ensue, but every one of them was on their cell phone and their little pod there typing things in mm-hmm. to somebody else. So it was the most unusual lunch I've ever had.
And unfortunately, that's the wave of the future. It's just a little side note. I just directed a production of Hairspray in Portland, Oregon last
summer.
That's
what it was. Okay.
And I was writing my notes for the cast on a notepad. I know, how archaic.
Yes.
With an actual pen and a piece of paper. The conductor was taking notes on his iPhone, and the choreographer was taking his notes on his iPad.
Oh, dear Lord.
But one day, something happened to the Wi-Fi in the theater, and so neither one of them could access the notes they had written during the rehearsal. And I said, well, looky here, fellas, my pen and paper.
We have an Aesop's fable.
Exactly. Still works. And so yes. I gave my notes and chuckled all through them, and then we went out to lunch, and I said, see, so there is sort of some virtue in the good old-fashioned ways.
Peggy, I'm originally from New Jersey, and I'm wondering if you've ever done any work with the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millburn. Have you ever heard of that playhouse?
Yes, I've been to the Paper Mill. I actually was hired to do a couple shows there, but it didn't work out. I actually spent 13 of my 22 years living in New Jersey myself. I lived in Booton Township, and now I forget. It's
Jersey girl.
Yes,
really not
Bloomfield.
Too far from
yes.
Manhattan.
Right, not yeah. too far from Manhattan.
There was another a gentleman's name that you wanted to bring up to see if she knew who that was.
That would be Edgar Lacine, who was the theater director and head of the department at East Carolina University in the eastern part of the state. And,
mm-hmm.
and they have a pretty strong summer stock program at East Carolina University. And he started it on a road that became much larger than what it started out.
You said he'd spent some
right.
time in New York City as well, so he was wondering
mm-hmm.
if you knew who he was.
I was wondering if you ever had heard about Edgar Lacine, and there have been a number of actors and actresses that have gone through that program. Probably the most famous is Sandra Bullock.
Right.
And she went to East Carolina, mm-hmm. and Edgar was in charge of the theater there, and there was a connection there.
Right. There's something in the water here in North Carolina. North Carolina produces some wonderful performers. ECU, I have
it
some of my
amazing.
Teenagers that have gone through the little Temple programs are now at ECU. That's a great program. Obviously, School of the Arts is a great program. Elon is a wonderful
oh, yeah.
program for performers.
And the film program's really kicking,
that's
kicking
right.
in as well.
Especially, you know, well, in this area, it's developing, but especially in the Wilmington area.
Yeah.
There's it had been sort of a mecca for a while. It was sort of the East Coast version of Hollywood.
Exactly.
Or that's what it was supposed
Dino
to be.
Dino De Laurentiis Studios
that's
and all
right,
that.
That's yeah. right, which has dwindled a bit, but they're trying to rev it back up, which is great, you know. In this political climate, I'm actually going back to have a meeting right after I leave here about
right.
the importance of the arts.
You're lunching with the mayor, right?
I am lunching with the mayor and what the arts bring to a community, and not only quality of life standards, but also the economic impact, that every dollar that you spend on an arts organization goes back into that community $8 worth.
Not to mention that it keeps you a little more true to your soul than most other things in life do.
That's right. And talk about training programs. I'm very proud of what the Temple does with the area youth that have no other opportunities. Six of our Temple Teens, which is a program I started when I moved to Sanford, and they've now graduated high school, and six of them are now in theater programs throughout the country and thriving.
Do they stay in touch with you?
Of course.
I would hope. Good.
So I'm really proud of what we offer there, and that's an opportunity that I didn't have growing up, and so that's one of the things that I'm passionate about, that these kids who aren't athletes and aren't necessarily fitting into the mold that we've become at schools, have the Temple Theater as an outlet for them.
They didn't become street gangs.
That's right.
There's a plus.
That's right.
Well, the Temple Theater seems to be a success story. And how long has it been in operation in this fashion?
This fashion for 28 years.
28 years.
It started out as a vaudeville house. Mm-hmm. And then it turned
back in the 20s?
Back in 1925.
25, okay.
It's still a beautiful gym, and that's when I have friends who come and visit. Before they come to visit, they're like, so why did you move to North Carolina? And then they come and see this beautiful space that you just don't see anymore.
It's like a sailor walking on board a ship. That's what happened to me at the Carolina Theater. Well, I looked at the inside of that and went, ha.
That's right. And the Carolina, now that it's had that beautiful renovation, is even more sparkly.
And I would even say that the Temple Theater is like a shrunken version of the Carolina.
It is. It really is because they were all built in that
same
era.
Carolina Theater was built in 1927.
So. There you go.
There's a small theater in Washington, North Carolina, sometimes called Little Washington, called the Turnage Theater. And they have basically been trying to do what the Temple Theater, what you have done. And it was operating, and they had plays and acts and shows for about 10 years, but I understand that they had to close up this year and for lack of funds and not enough people to come to the show.
Happening in a lot of places.
Well, the last 3 years, as we all know, has been a very difficult time for most Americans. And unfortunately, the arts are one of the first things that people cut out of their budget. Obviously, I don't believe that that's
considered,
a smart move.
Considered a luxury, and I don't really know where that notion comes from.
Right. My big push is always for the sense of community and the community building.
And the education it offers.
And the education
it's like
it
cutting
offers.
School out of your budget in many respects.
Right. And
school that's fun to go to.
Exactly. School that's fun to go to. And so part of my passion about keeping the Temple alive, and we have made some serious cutbacks on the staff end and on the budget end. We're about 70% of where the budget was when I came here. And so we're all working very hard with limited resources, but I'm very proud of the fact that we're still here.
You're still here. I remember your struggle a couple of years ago with the economy and such.
Like everyone else, we're started seeing the light at the end of the tunnel now. I hope that gas prices don't kill us, because that's what happened in 2008. Our 70% of our audience at the Temple comes from outside of Lee County. In fact, our fastest growing season ticket holder base is now in Carrboro and Chapel Hill.
Fantastic.
I'm very pleased.
Good for you.
And because I think we give a great bang for the buck.
Yes,
our tickets
do.
Are still under $25. They're $22. That's full price. If you're a season ticket holder, it's $18.
And you even create a social event afterwards to where they can come and have drinks and join and meet the cast and so on.
That's
so
right.
These are wonderful connections that I think a lot of people like.
Right. And we had lost quite a few groups over the years. And I'm also very proud to say that all of our groups have come back. And I think it's because they enjoy coming to Sanford. They have a meal. They walk around. They get to go to the antique stores and the little shops that are budding up everywhere in Sanford. And then they come and see a show. So it's an event. It's a whole day. And people of a certain age appreciate that. Now, the challenge is, like you said, to get the younger generation to appreciate what we do. And my biggest challenge is that I call it the Statue of Liberty syndrome, that people in Sanford don't necessarily appreciate what's in their own backyard.
True.
That they think that if it's homegrown, it can't be as good as something they would see in Raleigh, Durham, or even, you know, there are people that fly to New York City to see shows that never come to the
Temple. Absolutely, yeah.
So part of my job is education and enlightening my audience.
On that note, too, I would like to mention, having worked in theater all over the place here, whether stage managing or technical theater, that this area makes a big mistake in feeling that it's got to draw its talent from D.C. and New York City. In many cases, you've got local talent that you really need to sort of apply the dough locally a little more, because we've got talent to match, you know, the professionals from New York and D.C.
That's right. And that's one of my missions as well. I, you know, grew up in the Lort Theater, which is a regional theater world. And I totally believe in using your market. Like, for example, for The Odd Couple, I call my local talent pool. We had an actor from Chapel Hill. We had an actor from Greensboro. We had three of us from Sanford. We had an actor from Fayetteville. And one actor came in from Greenville, South Carolina.
Perfect.
Who's a Temple favorite. But mm-hmm. I consider those all local talent.
Yes,
you know,
I would say
and,
so.
And definitely. I think that show, I'd put that up and against show any
was,
show.
The show was perfect. I think I told you I originally saw the one with, what's the guy that played on Carol Burnett? One of the original Broadway versions.
Right.
I can't think of his name now, but and I would say that yours was as. I mean, there wasn't a bad moment in the entire thing, as far as lighting, as far as technical aspects, as far as the acting goes. It was flawless. If I had reviewed the thing, I would have had to say flawless because I've seen it a number of times.
Right.
And I know when that particular show is poorly performed, and that was on the money with everything that I saw. And what impressed me even more was that you had the lead actors switch their roles night for night.
That's right. That was actually quite a challenge, and
it had to be.
And we—that's another thing that we tried to do—is that, you know, these days you have to do title recognition shows in mm-hmm. my market, in order for people to come. And I'm still, like I said, educating and enlightening, and I think people now trust me enough to know that whether or not they've heard of the show, or whether they think it's their cup of tea or not, they know it's going to be well done.
Give it a try,
right?
Yeah.
So they'll give it a try. The Odd Couple, obviously, people know. And so we wanted to put a little twist on that, and our twist was that Oscar and Felix switched roles
yes.
every performance.
what a great concept, because you saw who was the fellow I saw that night? He was the
Steve Moore.
Steve, yeah. He played the Oscar, right?
Right.
And just to imagine, you know, he plays this insensitive character. To imagine him going sensitive the next
to
night
to play
was,
Felix.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm sorry, I never made it back for a second show.
And you know. Not that it wasn't a huge marketing ploy, because it was, but we had, you know, several hundred people came back and saw the show twice mm-hmm. because of that.
Oh,
and
I
really enjoyed it both ways.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they'd leave saying, I can't imagine it the other way. And then they come back and say, now I can't imagine it the other way.
Because the characters are so different. And yet, yeah, it's amazing what good actors can pull off.
And we continue to have fun and challenge ourselves. We challenge our audience. You know, and again, I just have to reiterate, what I feel is very important about the Temple Theater is that it really is the place for the community to come together to sort of celebrate and have a conversation afterwards about what you've
exactly.
just seen.
Do a little socializing, hang
right.
out and meet some fascinating souls you may end up being friends with for life. You
That's
never
right.
know.
Absolutely.
Rocco, I think it's time for a little music again. And
sounds,
we're going to come right right back at you with more from Peggy and Temple Theater in just a moment. Back to you,
sounds
Rocco.
Sounds good, Claudio. You know, Carrboro has come a long way since the days they first called it the Paris of the Piedmont, with more artists, musicians, and visionaries than perhaps any small town in America. Carrboro is to North Carolina as the East Village and Greenwich Village is to New York. Carrboro is also home to WCOM, community radio, for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Thank you. Arturo Sandoval with the Dizzy Gillespie classic Manteco.
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know it would be so hard. For me, it was easier to heal others than to heal myself.
If you or someone you know has a drug or alcohol problem, you are not alone.
Recovery was the hardest job I ever had, and the most important.
Good morning, Dr. Monroe.
Morning, Sarah. How are you today?
For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy here on Radio WCOM 103.5 FM. Let me correct that. That's Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theatre, sponsored by the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. I'm still here with Peggy and, of course, my co-host, Rocco.
Claudio and Peggy, what did you think of that piece with Arturo Sandoval on the trumpet?
There isn't going to be anything in this collection that I don't love.
Especially that Manteco is one of my favorite Dizzy Gillespie pieces because, like I was mentioning before, that big band era, that's just...
I'm still stuck on it myself.
I had a chance to see Dizzy Gillespie in person at the New York City World's Fair, either in 1964 or 65. I went two or three times, and the band was playing in one of the pavilions and had a great show.
Oh, I had to. I can imagine that sidewalk must have been vibrating.
In fact, the band that Gillespie had was an all-star band that was traveling around the world under the auspices of the government, the federal government.
And, sponsored.
They sponsored the trip, and he was taking the American jazz scene, so to speak, all around the world.
So and like a USO tour or just a
I think
just
it was
a goodwill
with
tour.
The United States Information Agency back then, USIA, and he had all the great all-stars in his band.
Incredible. Wow.
At that time.
You couldn't put a bunch like that together these days.
Well, it'd be difficult.
Not of that kind of strength.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, it'd be tough or too expensive.
Although I was listening on the way here, they're doing a big Rolling Stones tribute this evening at Carnegie Hall in New York.
Oh, really?
And they were talking about the lineup, and it's Ricky Lee Jones and Art Garfunkel and all these pretty heavy hitters from that era. And then at the end, and they said, and not a single Rolling Stone will be in attendance. I was like, well, what the hey?
Let's hope they'll be listening somewhere.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I know I've been picking your brain about your life. If you want to go into anything, promote Temple Theater and also give us contact information, please do that.
Sure. Well, we have one more show left in our main stage season this year. Our season runs June 30th to July 1st each year. So our last show of the season this year is Little Shop of Horrors.
All right.
Which people may or may not know. I'm surprised that people don't know it because people keep asking me, is that the one with the time warp? It is not the one with the time warp. It's a doo-wop, basically, musical, and it's the premise of it is a nerdy, nebbishy young man living in New York City on Skid Row in a plant shop who's in love with his coworker, discovers this little tiny plant one day that then ends up changing his life and basically changing the universe because it's a plant from outer space.
It was also an early career maker for none other than Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson did the movie, right? And then Disney produced a movie later on with Steve Martin and Rick Moranis and Ellen Green. It's just a great show. It's great for the entire family. It's going to be a fun way to
good
wrap up this
off-the-wall
year.
Comedy.
Good off-the-wall comedy.
And you can get eaten by a plant, hey?
And you can get eaten by a plant for an extra $5. No, that's not true. Although I might be onto something there.
You might.
This weekend, we have one of my favorite bands, North Carolina bands. They're from the Outer Banks, from the Great Dismal Swamp area, as the guys tell me.
Perfect.
It's eight guys. They're called Out in the Cold, and they call themselves a Bent Grass Americana Acoustic Band. They
Whoa,
do everything.
That's a mouthful.
I know. They do everything from, you know, Black Magic Woman to bluegrass to, but they're really famous for their harmonies. They're eight guys.
Love
and at
harmony.
Times they're doing like six part harmonies with all this great instrumentation. The drummer Martin Parker has become a great friend of mine. He plays with Jason Petty on the Hank Williams and Marty Robbins shows. And he's the drummer for this band, but they are just a hoot. And they are playing this Friday and Saturday. The concert starts at 7 o'clock, and tickets are only $15.
That'll be at the Temple Theater in downtown Sanford.
In Sanford. So we have that coming up. And then at the end of this month, on the 31st, we have a great classical guitarist from the Asheboro area. His name is Larry G. Davis. And he's been playing the guitar, as he says, his entire life, and he's had a long life. But he's a brilliant guitarist, and that's on the 31st. So we have great things coming up. You can check out our website, which is www.templeshows.com, or you can call our box office, which is 919-774-4155. And I just want to give you a little sneak peek at what next season is going to bring.
Please.
We are kicking it off with our two youth conservatories this summer. We are doing a world premiere musical adaptation of Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm. Musical. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wrote the script for it. It's very funny. My friend Michael Hoagland out of New York is writing the music. And there's 45 kids in each camp.
Oh, man.
And it's just going to be a blast. And we're actually starting a new youth program this summer called the Temple Tots for ages 5 to 7. Because our
Oh, boy.
I know. Our normal conservatory is 8 to 18. So, but they're that age. They're ready to rock, too. So we're going to get the little kids involved this summer. Then we're going to open the season with Sweet Charity. Great classic song and dance show. Then we are going to do Alfred Hitchcock's 39 Steps.
Huh.
Then we're bringing back Sanford's Holiday Tradition, A Christmas Carol, our musical adaptation that, again, written by Michael Hoagland. And I had some script doctoring on that project. Then Jason Petty is coming back with The Swingin' Cowboys, his brand new show. It's so brand new, it's not even written yet.
Get on it.
And his band out of Nashville. Then we're following that up with Forever Plaid. And then we're going to do a play, and I haven't decided yet. If people want to weigh in, they should go to our Facebook page. Between The Smell of the Kill, which is a terrible title but a hysterical play, Lend Me a Tenor, or Last of the Red Hot Lovers.
Hmm.
So if you have an opinion, go to the Temple Theater Facebook page, which is Temple Theater Company, and weigh in on that subject.
Well, I know about the Last of the Red Hot Lovers, but I don't know about the other two. So
The Smell of the Kill is the story of three couples that do a supper club every month.
Hmm.
And briefly, they're at this one woman's house, and the ladies are upstairs. The guys go downstairs because a man has a new walk-in meat locker. He's a hunter.
Ah.
And the three guys get locked in. So the ladies are upstairs drinking wine and deciding if they're going to let their husbands out of the freezer or not.
That'd make for an interesting evening.
Exactly. So it's very funny, but it's also very heartwarming. And then...
That's when they come out of the freezer.
Well, exactly, right. Yes. And Lend Me a Tenor is a classic Ken Ludwig comedy, almost bordering on farce.
Mm.
And it just had a recent revival in New York. It's a very funny piece as well. And then we're going to end next season with something that hasn't been done very much in this area, which I'm very shocked by, which is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
All right. Now, haven't you done that before?
I haven't.
Oh, I thought you had.
Oh, I have done it. I did it at the Muni when I was in college.
That's what it was.
That was many moons ago.
See, I do remember some of our conversations.
Ah, excellent.
No senior moments here. Thank you.
So we constantly have things going on at the Temple, and our youth programs are in full swing these days. We're doing our Winter Conservatory presently, which is where teenagers, middle school and high school students are learning Shakespeare and the language of Shakespeare and how to scan and how to read the scripts and doing the research on what these words mean.
And what's your impression of the way they're taking to it?
They love it.
Really?
You know, it's
well, that's an accomplishment in the South.
And it's interesting what kids relate it to these days. One of the kids came up to me and he's like, you know, this kind of rhyming stuff, it's kind of like rap music. It's like, I'm not sure that's what he had in mind, but okay.
No.
If that's where you're going, you know, and so it's interesting to get their take on it.
I can see the old bard standing back scratching his head going, I started this.
Exactly. But it's fun and it's fascinating. And it also infuses Tom Dalton, this is our director of education, and I with,
all right,
with a, you know, a new sense of connection to the youth. They're also doing, my Temple teens are doing they did a Valentine's Day show, and now they're doing a St. Paddy's Day show out and about in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's fun because Tom and I come in with all these old Irish drinking songs, you know, Who Threw the Overalls and Mrs. Murphy's Chowder and, you know, the Irish Rover. And the kids are like, well, can't we do any, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know who you're talking about, but sure, you learn it, you can do it. And they're like, well, they're Irish. So it's good. It keeps us young and keeps us on our toes. And hopefully through all of this, we are educating them to be...
Yes.
If not theater participants, then theater patrons in the future, and altruistic and aware that the arts add a lot to their lives. So,
well, with the Irish, you might get them starting on drinking notions rather early, but it'll make sense when they get older.
Exactly.
And find themselves doing, what shall we do with the drunken sailor? What shall we do with the drunken sailor?
That's another, you know, musical style that I just love. I love the whole Celtic
influence.
Yeah. It's almost as inspiring as the Latin influence.
And I think the reason we're so comfortable with it is because most of us have some of it in our blood.
Exactly, exactly.
Especially us mixed cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking for the German, Italian, and myself. Anyway, we've got about 5 more minutes to wrap this. So what I'm going to suggest is, why don't we wrap up any connections and things about the Temple Theater?
Sure.
And then go to music as a way out. So if you want to repeat the contact information.
Absolutely. If you want more information about the concert Out in the Cold this weekend, I should also mention that Jean Jolly, who is a Raleigh artist, folk singer, is opening for the band, and she is terrific in her own right. So come out this weekend to the Temple Theater in Sanford, and you can go to our website, which is www.templeshows.com, or call the box office, 919-774-4155, or join us on Facebook, the Temple Theater Company. And we've always got information posted in those three various locations, and I hope to see you at Out in the Cold this weekend, and then Little Shop of Horrors to wrap up the season.
And to let you folks know, this show will be podcast probably sometime tomorrow by good old Ernie Hood. And it'll be downloadable for free. And if you've forgotten what the show is all about, you can always go to claudioarts.com and I'll remind you. But you can also go to my radio show link and find it there. So.
And thank you for having me. It's always great
to be
pleasure.
Here. My pleasure. This, of course, has been Peggy Taphorn, creative and artistic director of Temple Theater in downtown Sanford. I'm here with my co-host, Rocco.
Always a pleasure, Claudio.
Thank you. And I think we're going to sign off with some music. So thank you, folks, for tuning us in. Enjoy the tune coming up. And I'll see you next week.